And we're thankful for all of you that were able to be here. Some were sick, some were not able to make it, and we'll get them up to speed. But we've had a wonderful few days of planning. If you did miss those due to work or whatever, if you would please get with me, or if you know your team leader, get with them and just ask them what you can do to help to make sure that all of the work is being covered, and see what you can do to be a part of the mission in motion. We are having a special refocus of our capital campaign, and this has been planned, and so we're excited about what God's going to do. Let's go to our lesson here tonight and read from Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for our children doing the fundraising tonight. Thank you for those who supported that. Thank all those who helped work, and there were some of the children that helped work, I believe. And so we're thankful for that. It's always a blessing to help send kids to youth camp. And it's nice when they decide that they want to do a little work and fundraise with that. It's nice. So, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sitters in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God bless you. You may be seated. We're teaching tonight, again, on being rooted and grounded. Being rooted and grounded. Several years ago, when we were pastoring in Texas, the church there was able to purchase, it was an absolute miracle, but we were able to purchase some land adjoining the church property that helped us have some fabulous visibility along the highway. And there are not many churches that have frontage on Interstate 10. Interstate 10 is one of the busiest highways in the United States, going from coast all the way to coast. And I have driven all of that or most of that at one time or another. And so it was very exciting to have frontage property. There had been one lot that had separated the church there from Interstate 10, and it was literally a miracle that we were able to get that. And so it was very exciting. However, the property was a swamp. Literally, it was a swamp. And at one time, a drainage ditch had run through the middle of the property onto the neighbor's property where there was a pond. And so all the water ran that direction to fill that pond. But at some point, the neighbor decided he was going to block the drainage ditch off. So all of that water just backed off, all the runoff from the highway and all of that just ended up into this property that the church purchased. And it had been sitting there for years and years, and the soil wasn't sand. It was kind of this black clay sticky mud, and it was nasty, and it smelled, and it was easy to get stuck in, and the snakes liked it. Not much else, but the snakes really liked it. And There was these scrub trees. These they weren't good for anything, but they grew about 15 feet tall, and they were thick enough just to hide the church from the highway. So they really weren't good for anything else. It was just thick brush. So, and actually, if you walked off in there, you could get lost pretty easily. And so the pastor got this bright idea, and I determined we were going to clear that property so we could be visible from the highway. Does that sound good to anybody? Amen. Amen. So we rented a dozer, and the story is, I'll tell you this, don't tell the dozer company, but I had an operator supposed to come and operate that dozer, and he got sick. And here we have a dozer sitting out there for however much we were using it for, and I had just a couple of days. So your pastor learned how to operate a dozer. And I'd operated some equipment before, but never a dozer that big. And it was a fun experience. But we started working, and on the edges of that property, it was real easy. We were working to clear those trees, and on the higher ground there on the edge of the property, we were able to work. But the closer we got to that swamp in the middle, the tougher it got. And at one point, I just about buried that dozer. It was something. And you've heard of quicksand. This was more like quick mud. It was bad. And I wasn't getting off the dozer because I knew I'd probably just sink right down in it. So we kept working and working. We had to get that brush out so we could drain it. And so we worked, snakes and all. But I remember tackling some of those scrub trees. And here I am, I'm on a dozer. This dozer can bring a house down. This dozer has power. It has weight. And that it's just a little scrub tree. It's about 15 feet tall. But somehow in that black clay, that scrub tree had found its sweet spot. And it had sunk some roots down, and that dozer had its work cut out for it. Trying to battle against those scrub trees in the midst of all of that mud. I want to tell you, it was work. You'd have to work at that tree from one angle, and then you'd have to maneuver around to the other side and finally work until those roots gave way and the tree would come down. How much more could our lives be rooted and grounded if we would sink ourselves into a foundation, a sure foundation? To be like a tree that is planted by the river of life, that's rooted in the things of God, a kingdom that will not be shaken, steadfast and true and bringeth fruit forth in our season. Amen. We did accomplish some of it, and then we had a rainy season hit and weren't able to do it all at that point. And I remember them picking up that dozer, and we did our best to clean it off, but I don't know if they'd ever seen one with that much mud, and it was something, but it was an experience. We've taught 3 different weeks now on this subject, being rooted and grounded. We looked at being rooted in Christ, and He's the chief cornerstone. We looked at being rooted and grounded in love. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And then last week, we looked at being rooted and grounded in truth. In a world that has rejected absolute truth, anything to do with absolute truth, I tell you, we stand on the Word of God, which is forever settled. Isaiah 40:8 tells us, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Hey, call us old-fashioned, politically incorrect. You make fun of our beliefs all you want to, say we're Bible thumpers, all of that, but our future is not dependent on a thread of speculation. Our future is standing on the Word of God. And the Word of God has already been established. It doesn't change with the shifting of our society. It does not waver in the face of uncertainty. The Word isn't threatened by the trends of culture. We rely on John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Aren't you thankful for the sure foundation that comes from being rooted and grounded in truth? Praise the Lord. Tonight, we're going to look at another anchor that will stand in a changing world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 tells us, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Another translation says it like this: you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you had when you first heard the gospel, but continue in the faith. Continue grounded and settled, established and firm. We must continue in the faith. We must be rooted and grounded in faith. In faith. I think every once in a while we need to take a trip down that memory lane to remember some things. Remember when we first came to the Lord. Remember all that He brought us out of. We need to remember the love that we had for the truth when we first came into the church. How excited we were just to hear a Bible study. How excited we were to invite our friends and family. We need to remember that hope that we had when we had first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and God began to work on us and to change us. And now we continue in that faith. We continue grounded and settled. And we make sure that we're not moved away from the hope that we had when we first heard the gospel. But we continue to live by faith. Our life is a life of faith. We respond to situations that come with the response of faith. Come on, when we pray, it ought to be prayers of faith. Whatever situations we face in life, we learn to face them by faith because that is what anchors us. That is what grounds us. That is the faith that we have. It's the faith in Jesus Christ. You can tell who lives by faith and who doesn't. Sometimes it may take a little time to reveal it, but it does matter that our lives be built on a foundation of faith. We read in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." We have to build ourselves up on faith. It's a foundation that will make the difference in our lives. Imagine with me tonight a mistake that weighed 14,500 tons. It was a mistake that weighed 14,500 tons. You know, everybody makes a mistake from time to time, but this was a big one. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, I used to think it was the Tower of Pizza when I was younger, but we're not really sure of the identity of the original architect for that bell tower in Cathedral Square in Pisa, Italy. But whoever it was messed up. Construction began on the tower in 1173. And in 1178, the construction progressed to the second floor, and then the tower began to lean. It began to sink on one side because of it was a very shallow foundation, and the soil was very unstable. Because of war and turmoil in the country, they put the construction on hold for almost 100 years, which allowed the soil to settle some. And so then in 1272, construction began again. The new architect tried to compensate for that sinking to one side. And so those upper floors, if you ever look at a picture, the upper floors were built with one side taller than the other, making the tower kind of curved. Over the years, they've tried many things in order to keep the tower from falling over, and most of them have actually failed or even made it worse. But finally, they removed quite a bit of the soil under the one side, and engineers announced in 2008 that the tower was stable. It was stable, they said, and should remain that way for, they said, maybe 200 years. Now, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But all of this happened because someone did not take the time and did not take enough care to build a right foundation. Foundations usually aren't that exciting. They're not glamorous. They're generally ugly. They're an unnoticed and unpainted part of a structure that it's mostly underground. It's part of the building that people don't usually see, but it's the most important part of the house. It holds that structure firm through high winds and storms that may come during the night. It's important to have the right foundation. Has anybody ever seen a flying trampoline? Well, I didn't see one, but I heard one the other night. I heard it as it came from the backyard and landed on top of our house and went down the side of the house. What night was that when the winds were so bad? Was that Sunday night or Saturday night? Maybe Monday night. I can't remember. And I thought, what in the world? I know it's not Santa Claus, but something just happened. And then I remember there's a trampoline in the backyard. It wasn't in the backyard anymore, folks, because there was no anchor. And the wind caught that thing, and it just acted like a sail. And needless to say, I don't know what we're going to do with the trampoline, but Daniel and I were out there in the middle of the night trying to keep that thing from blowing away, and we got it taken care of. But we got to have a foundation. It's the most important part of the structure. Here's the thing. It ought to just be common sense that if our life is found to have a faulty foundation, we should stop building and get stuff right. Why didn't the architects that continued that construction know that, hey, there's a problem here with this foundation? Instead, they kept building, I think it was 7 more stories. We need to be willing, if there's an issue in our foundation, we should be willing to make those necessary changes to correct what's wrong and to build again for the future. Oh, to live by faith, to walk by faith and not according to sight. Amen. For those who are walking by faith, you can just tell it in their attitude. You can see it in their response to trials that come. You see it in their church attendance. You see it in their giving. You see it in their worship. Those that walk by sight, well, you can see it too. Because everything negative that comes along, it affects their attitude. It affects their church attendance. It affects their giving. It affects their worship. I tell you, it's depressing to walk by sight. It's absolutely depressing to walk according to sight because there's so many negative things around us every day. Oh, I tell you, let's choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Let's keep focused on the good things of God and not the negative things of this world. Let's always remember God's mercy and God's grace. Let's keep our attention focused on Him. When we walk by faith, we're not blown off track by the trials of life. Storms that come, we're not worried, we're just grounded in faith. Luke 12:28 tells us, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? How encouraging to know that hey, God's got this. God's got this. It's pretty rough. I don't know how I'm coming, but God's got this. Amen. And it takes pressure off of us to just step back and declare, God, this is yours. My life is yours. My family is yours. I got, you know, God, I've given everything I have to you. So you see the problem with the car. You see the problem with the house. You see the trampoline. Lord, I gave it to you. Everything's yours. So God, you got this. Amen. That's how we live grounded. That's how we live consistent. That's how we remain stable. Ephesians chapter 6, it teaches us about the armor of God. And so we're to put these things on so that we may be able to stand against the tactics of the devil. Ephesians 6:16 reads, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's something about faith. It is a shield that keeps us from the attacks of the enemy. And you can look through these various pieces of the armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness, it's very valuable to have. It protects our vital organs. It's a very vital piece of the armor of God. But think about the blessing to have a shield. It's a blessing to have a shield. The shield can turn in any direction. The shield can be lowered. It can be raised. That the temptations of the devil, they're like fiery darts that come out of our life. And sometimes they come out of nowhere. And they're meant to hit us when we're weak and meant to distract us from our purpose in God and our calling. But faith is a shield to quench those fiery darts. And when our faith is strong, those darts don't have an effect on us. When our faith is strong, that fiery dart of the enemy comes against us, but faith just puts the fire out. I tell you, this is a battle that we're in. I know we didn't ask for it, and we didn't say, Lord, I just need a battle to fight. No, but we're thrust into a conflict over our souls here today. And really, it's not even about us. It's about the devil's desire to stop the purpose of God. And so that purpose includes some great things for you and for you and for you and for you and for me. And the purpose of God includes great revival and the work of his kingdom. So if the devil can get us sidetracked, then he can stop the work and the purpose of God. So it's a fight, and we're caught up in the middle. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. As Paul was nearing the end of his ministry, he declared in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so through everything that Paul faced, he was able to stay grounded. Those attacks did not move him from his purpose. Hey, I'm sorry. I can't just promise you a smooth ride in life. You know, we would, if we could, we try to smooth out all the bumps in the road. But that's not reality. And we just be wasting our time. The better approach is to find a way to anchor ourselves to something that's going to remain grounded no matter the bumps and no matter how smooth the ride may be or not. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. So we can declare like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. So what is faith tonight, and how do we get it? Many of us can quote Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the assurance. It is the confidence. It's the confirmation. It's the supporting ground of things hoped for. It's a foundation that supports the things we hope. Faith is a conviction of the things not seen. Faith convinces us of what we do not see. We can't see it with the natural eye, but our faith convinces us it is there. Walking by faith, we don't see it with our natural eyes, but we walk by faith. And we see it and we claim it in the spirit world. And then we act in the natural world like it's already taken place here, even though it still may be in the spirit world and you can't see it with the natural eye, but we start acting like it's already come to pass. That's faith. Mark 11:22 reads, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's a pretty powerful promise from the Lord himself. What he's saying here is, we receive it in our spirit before we receive it in life. Receive it in one dimension before we have it in another one. And we can't expect to have something in the natural if we haven't received it yet in our spirit. We can't have healing or blessing or deliverance in the natural until we receive it in our spirit. The reason why some people are broke, I'm not looking at anybody. I don't know if anybody's broke. The reason why some people are broke, they don't believe they're ever going to get out of poverty. I think we're here tonight with some people that believe, hey, God's blessings are on the way. I'm going to be faithful to Him, and God's going to bring me out. Amen? There's a reason why some people, it just seems like they're always sick. Now, I'm not talking about just February in Missouri, folks. But some people just have an attitude of sickness. They just have a spirit of sickness, and it just seems like they're always sick, and they're always depressed, and they're always down, and they're always going through this thing because it's in their spirit. They've received that in the spirit, and that's who they believe they are. When we pray, we're to believe that we receive those things and that we shall have them. It's powerful stuff. And you know, it sounds like all those crazy TV preachers. Well, you just name it and you claim it and you touch your hand on that screen right now and you send in $36 and I'll send you a bottle of oil and all this, you know, crazy stuff. Some get crazy with this. But do we believe the Word of God or not? Just because there's some who get off track a little bit and they get in that prosperity doctrine and teaching everybody needs to drive a Bentley or wear a Rolex. Yeah, just because they do all that craziness doesn't mean that there's really not a principle of faith in the Word of God. I tell you, folks, this needs to be a church of faith. This needs to be a church of people that have learned to walk by faith. And God answers our prayers because we pray them with faith. And when we pray, we believe that we're going to receive those things. When we pray, believe that we receive it and we shall have it. Amen. That's some strong faith. Praise the Lord. I just believe it here tonight. We need to claim that. I'm not going to wait until I get it in the natural. But I receive it right now in the spirit. Amen. I'm walking in it right now. Nobody else sees it, but I receive it right now by faith. Amen. I claim it by faith. I might still feel the pain in my body, but I receive the healing in my spirit. The check hasn't come yet, but I receive it. Come on, when you desire, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe. Have faith in God. Where do we get faith from? I want to tell you, if we could get it in a store, that store would be busy all the time. If I could give it to you, I'd be rich. But what does the Word say? Where do we get faith? Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We understand tonight that when we hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, then comes faith. That's why we need to be in church every chance we get. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why is it that the first thing that people do when they're struggling is skip out on church? That's the worst thing that they could do. When we're down, when we're struggling, when our faith is weak, we need to do everything we can to get to the house of the Lord. We need to push past the tiredness. We need to push past the doubt. Amen. We need to push past that negative spirit. We need to push past the lies of the enemy that say, oh, just go on and stay home tonight, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many times have we come dragging into church and we're tired and we're frustrated and we're battling things all day long, but then the Word of God starts going forth, and all of a sudden we realize that, hey, I'm not in this by myself. I'm not walking just in my own strength and ability, but there's the Word of God, and I stand on God's promises, and we're going to make it by faith. Praise the Lord. The first part of Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to tell you, faith comes from God. He is the author of it. He is the origin of it. He is also the finisher of it. It means He perfects it. He completes it. He's the source of faith, not us. And He's the finisher of our faith, not us. We can't make it without the Lord. We've got to have Him. And when we're rooted and grounded in faith, anything can happen. We've got to have faith. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we're going to come to God, we've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. For us to even be saved, We've got to have faith. Think about it with me tonight. When there's an atmosphere of faith in the service, and there's worship, and there's faith, and there's response to the Word of God, it's easy for people to receive the Holy Ghost. It's easy for people to worship. It's easy for people to respond to the preaching. It's easy to come to the altar. When there's faith in the house, it's easy for there to be healings and miracles and deliverance. When there's faith here, there's the ability for the supernatural to happen. We've got to remember that our faith, it's more than just about us, but our faith may mean the difference in someone else receiving the Holy Ghost or not. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy, but it's through faith. If anyone comes to God, they've got to believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We've got to have faith if we're going to be saved. And we have to have faith for healing. Praise the Lord. We read about Paul and Barnabas going to the city of Lystra in Acts chapter 14. And in verse 8 through 10, it says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. He'd never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Sometimes we might just skip kind of over the reading of that and think, you know, isn't that great that Paul prayed the prayer and he healed this man. But Paul didn't heal him. It was the power of God. And this man, he wasn't healed because Paul was an apostle. In this passage of Scripture, that man wasn't healed because of Paul's faith. That man himself had the faith to be healed. You see, there are those. There's ministers and prayer warriors and precious saints of God who operate in that dimension of faith, and they see great things happen through the ministry that God's given them. But we all have to have faith if we're going to receive healing from God. Reading in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. He told her, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Does anybody have faith here tonight? Come on, does anybody have faith for whatever it is you're facing, whether it's healing in your body or sickness in your family, or maybe it's a circumstance that you just don't know how you're going to get through? We've got to have faith to make it through. Jesus, if you read on, he continued on. He went from the one with the issue of blood to Jairus' house, where this ruler's daughter had just died. Matthew chapter 9, verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Notice, but when the people were put forth, he went in. This is Jesus Christ, God manifested in flesh. But he said, we got to get these people out that don't have faith. Because we're about to have a miracle, and we've got to have faith. And so when he put them out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Continuing on, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. How big is your faith tonight? Not your faith in yourself, not your faith in your own ability, not faith in our own talent and power, but how big is our faith in God? According to thy faith, be it unto you. God is looking for a people that are going to have faith. Come on, we've got to live by faith. We've got to walk by faith. We've got to pray in faith. We've got to worship in faith. We come to church in faith. We come to church in faith. We don't come saying, well, it's just going to be another Wednesday night, and I know nothing's going to happen. No, you come to church expecting something great by faith. I'm coming to church tonight believing for the miracle in my body. I'm coming to church. I want to see somebody receive the Holy Ghost. I'm coming to church tonight. I want to have a breakthrough in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith for healing. And we've got to have faith in action. I read the story recently of a pastor. This was not a Pentecostal pastor, but the church that he pastored did not really practice praying for the sick or for healing. And this actual pastor of this church, he was in an accident, and he was run over by a car. And the doctor said that his right leg would have to be amputated, and that even if they were possibly able to save it, that they told him he wouldn't be able to walk on it. And so he told the story of how he lay there in the hospital bed, and in James chapter 5, verse 14 just kept coming to him. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. He tells the story of how he tried to argue with God and say, you know, this is not really something we do in the 21st century. This is not something we do in our church, God. This was for the apostles' day, and just for them. It's not for us. But God reminded him about a certain man that he knew, and he knew this man and his wife did believe in praying for the sick. And so he called them to come, and they came, and they anointed him with oil. They prayed the prayer of faith, and he was healed. God honors faith. God honors faith. I'm going to say something interesting tonight. Why is it that these televangelists can crowd thousands of people into these stadiums? And I haven't seen the medical reports of them all, but I have heard reports of people actually receiving healing. Why is it? They don't have the truth. I don't really trust their motives. You know, all this blowing and taking your coat off and hitting them, and, you know, I don't see that in the Bible. Well, there are some stories in the Bible. Jesus spit in the ground and put some mud and said, okay, go wash. They don't preach the truth. Well, why? Because God honors faith. And sometimes in those places there is an atmosphere of faith because God honors faith, and people believe that something's going to happen to me, and God honors faith. I want to tell you, came and anointed this man and prayed the prayer of faith. His leg didn't have to be removed. He was able to use it just fine. There was no problems. We have to put our faith into action. There were some disciples that came to the Lord. They said, why haven't we been able to cast out that demon out of that boy? Jesus gave the reason in Matthew 17 and 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Do you have any mountains? Come on, do you have any mountains tonight? Have you exercised your faith? Have you put your faith into action? Praise the Lord. I want to be a people of faith. I want this to be a church of faith. We must be rooted and grounded in faith. It's our faith that stands through tough times. It's our faith that keeps us when things don't go our way. It's our faith that encourages us when people forsake us. It's faith that brings healing. It's faith that brings miracles. We are saved by faith. Somebody needs to just take a step of faith today. It's our faith that makes the difference. Stay rooted and grounded in something that will keep us in the face of the storm, and let's place our faith in God today. I tell you, there's a shaking coming. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there are going to be some things that remain, and I want to make up our minds here tonight. We're going to be rooted and grounded in faith. So though everything is shaking around us, we will make it through. Praise the Lord. Reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Can you imagine with me? Can you just imagine with me a little here tonight? Here's Rahab, the harlot. She had helped the spies of Israel, and they had given her a promise. And can you just imagine as she looked out the window of her house there high up on that wall of Jericho, and here's the children of Israel marching around once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they march around 7 times. And then after they'd marched around 7 times, the priests blew the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout. And what started as a noise from the people of Israel, it resonated somewhere deep, way down deep in the foundation of those walls of Jericho, and walls that were perhaps 15 feet thick or even more, and those walls started rumbling, and those walls started moving, and what had been that city's security, it started shaking, and those walls came tumbling down. The Bible says they fell flat. Imagine with me what Rahab must have been thinking during all of this shaking, during all of this rumbling and those walls falling down. Hebrews tells us that by faith she perished not. There must have been something within inside of her that said, you know, I know there was something different about those spies. And I know that there's something different about their God. He's different than all the gods of our land. And if their God could bring them out of Egypt, and if their God could part the waters of the Red Sea, and if their God could destroy Pharaoh's army, if he could give them victory over the kings of the Amorites, then surely this God of heaven can save me throughout all this shaking. And she held on in faith, and she kept that scarlet cord in the window. And even though the walls fell flat, there must have been one section of wall that stood. Because we know that Rahab's house was built on the city wall, and she was saved, and all of her family saved that day. She was saved by faith. I've come to preach to somebody tonight that it seems like your world is being shaken. It seems like everything perhaps that you have counted on and you've based your life on is being shaken all around you. And there's turmoil and there's trouble and there's all of this of life. I want to tell you, you keep grounded in faith. You keep believing by faith. You keep walking by faith. Come on, somebody tonight. I want to tell you, you keep believing that God is going to keep you by faith through that storm, through that shaking. I tell you, God has a wonderful miracle. He has a wonderful work for you to do, but we've got to make it through by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody tonight, just let your faith start to rise and realize God's got this. God's got this, and I'm staying rooted and grounded in Him, and He's going to keep me, and by faith, we're going to make it through. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me here tonight? Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be just like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree that is full of life. A tree that's bringing forth fruit. It's a picture of a tree that's thriving. It's flourishing. It's fruitful. It's a picture of revival. Praise the Lord. It's a picture of victory. It's a picture of a tree that's steadfast through the storm. Praise the Lord. I believe today that God wants every single one of us to be rooted and grounded in Him, to be rooted and grounded in His Word, to be rooted and grounded in faith, so that He can do a great work through our lives. God's not going to work through somebody who doesn't have a good foundation. But those that take care of their foundation to make sure it's rooted and grounded in Him, I believe God's going to help us be fruitful. I believe God's going to help us to flourish. He's going to help us to have victory. He's going to help us to go forward in faith. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's something about my life. I want to see revival. I want to see a revival of the church, and I want to see a reaching of lost souls of this world. But we can't do it ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We've got to be rooted and grounded in Him so that His power flows through us and works through us. Come on, let's make up our minds. We're going to be rooted and grounded. There may be shaking going on all around us, but we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we could just have a time of prayer here right now. Lord, I pray that You would increase our faith. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us here in this place. Remind us, Lord. Remind us, God, of the hope that we had when we first heard this gospel. Remind us, God, of the miracles that You've done for us. Remind us, Lord, that we're not in this by ourselves, but Lord, You are in control, and You are keeping us. Remind us, Lord, of those times that You brought us out of trouble. Remind us, Lord, of those times that You provided when there was no way we could make it, but You made a way, oh Lord, and help us to keep walking by faith. Help us to keep walking according to Your promises. Help us to keep walking according to Your word, oh God. In Jesus' name, I want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want to bring forth fruit. I want to be flourishing. I want to see victory, Lord. I want to see fruit coming from my life in Jesus' name. Oh, God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I wonder if we could just gather around the front tonight and come and ask God, I pray that You'd help our faith. Help our faith. Help our faith to be strong, Lord. Help our faith to be rooted and grounded in You. God, I pray that You bless this church. Bless our services. Lord, let our services be full of an atmosphere of faith. I pray, God, that You would work through every young person, work through every adult, Lord. I pray, God, that You would minister. Let there be an atmosphere of faith in our lives. Oh, God, Lord, I know You've got great things in store for us. I know You've got great things You're wanting to do, Lord. I pray that You would increase our faith here right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, we stand upon Your word, Lord. We declare it by faith. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Lord, I claim healing by faith. I claim victory by faith. I claim revival by faith, oh God. Is there anybody here with a need tonight, and you'd be willing just to take a step of faith, and you'd be willing to receive it in your spirit right now? You might not have it yet in the flesh. We might not have it in the natural world, but I'm going to receive some things in my spirit right now by faith. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to believe that when we pray that we shall receive it. Come on, whatever it is, that lost loved one, that situation that's hopeless, but come on, would you give it to God right now, and would you receive it by faith? In Jesus' name, God, You are well able. There is nothing that is too hard for You. I pray by faith right now for every need, for every miracle, for every lost loved one. God, for every trial that people are going through, we pray by faith and we receive the promise right now in Jesus' name. We believe, God, that you are going to make a way, that you are going to provide, that you are going to open that door. We claim it and receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just thank God for it? Why don't you thank God for it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for the miracle, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Glory to God. Come on, let's keep our faith strong. Let's keep our faith in the Lord. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. If you're ever down and depressed, find a quiet place and start reading your Bible. Amen. Or maybe you can't find a quiet place, but they're in the middle of your job or something. If you get a break, pull your phone out and get that Bible app. Just start reading some verses about faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Read some of those psalms from David, who was going through tremendous trials, but oh, he could put his faith in the Lord that God was going to bring him through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is awesome. He is working and he is moving. Amen. And I want us to stay rooted and grounded. Amen. There is a shaking that's going to come. It is already perhaps here, and there'll be more, but God's going to look for those that will remain. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. Be safe going home.